Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with Major Mike Gary, U.S. Army Reserve Seaburn Officer. And he and I are going to discuss today the situation with the mobilization and the federalization of the National Guard to quell the insurrection and riots in Los Angeles. And I want to be clear about a couple of points that I feel very strongly about. Number one, these are not, quote, peaceful protesters, end quote. They are violent, extremist, paid insurrectionists to create chaos, violence, assault law enforcement, assault ICE officers, injure, maim, and even kill innocent U.S. citizen civilians and damage property. This is not a protest covered under the First Amendment. This is a paid insurrection by forces of evil designed to overthrow and destabilize a sitting president of the United States and to initiate what has been called in other countries, led by the CIA and deep state and global elites, as a color revolution, and they are bringing their playbook to the United States homeland. Let's be very clear about exactly what we're seeing. And I make no bones about that and no apologies for it, because I have watched this since the Vietnam era. These are efforts to overthrow a constitutional republic and replace it with a Marxist, communist, totalitarian state, period. Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass are participants as insurrectionists, failing their duty to America, to the American citizens in California that they were elected to represent, and their failure to protect life and property. And in my opinion, they actually should be arrested. But that may come down the road. In the meantime, what made me especially angry this week was the fact that Laura Loomer posted on X just 2 days ago the fact that the national, sorry, this was Laura Logan who posted this, and the National Guard command structure is going against President Trump's executive order to reinstate wrongfully terminated National Guard troops who were wrongfully and unlawfully discharged for refusing the unlawful COVID vaccine mandate. And we were pointing out under the Constitution, under military code of Uniform Code of Military Justice, and under the Religious Restoration Act, that it was quite lawful and within their constitutional rights for any military service member to refuse the experimental COVID shot, either on medical grounds, on the grounds that it was experimental, or on a religious exemption. They had lots of options, and all of them were perfectly legal and had been used in the past. But suddenly, under COVID, they were persecuted and discharged, threatened with Leavenworth, threatened with dishonorable discharge, and lost their livelihood and career if they objected and if they wanted to follow their constitutional rights. So now we have a president who has ordered reinstatement of those wrongfully terminated service members, and a Secretary of Defense who's also carrying out that order, and the National Guard leadership, the same woke, liberal, radical progressives. They're not progressive in any way. They are regressive, technically, but they are sabotaging their commander in chief, which fits the definition of treason and also insurrection, if you look it up. And I was just livid, because at a time that we need more National Guard troops, there are forecasts in this No King's Day anarchy planned for the country, there are more than 1,800 U.S. cities targeted in the well-funded plan to destabilize this country. We need more National Guards soldiers, not less. And I was really just furious about the National Guard leadership sabotaging the Commander-in-Chief and the Secretary of Defense and the Constitution and not reinstating troops. And in fact, Major Mike Gary is one of those wrongfully terminated service members who has applied for reinstatement with a very thoroughly documented package about the grounds for reinstatement, and they are not moving on it. So it fits with what Laura Logan posted on X. And here we have riots, property damage, fires, bombing, assaulting police officers, assaulting ICE agents, injuring the horses, the police horses, police dogs, and people, all taking place in one of our major cities, defended by the governor, defended by the mayor, who are defending the criminals and the paid insurrectionists and illegal aliens waving flags of other countries they don't want to go back to, but they're going to insult us by waving their flag. The whole thing is just making me very angry at the sabotage of this country and innocent civilians who deserve to live in peace. And so that's why Major Gary and I wanted to do a deep dive into just exactly what are the rules about the president being able to federalize the National Guard, and what did the Biden administration do that was targeting American citizens, patriotic, conservative, Christian, American citizens, and labeling them secretly in this secret database exposed by DNI Gabbard as domestic terrorists. The whole thing, when you look at all of it and connect the dots, it's an outrage. And all of us and all of you listening need to start making waves with your elected representatives about the travesty that this represents and the danger to this country. So now that I've had my opening tirade, Major Gary, since you've been the target of this persecution, I'd like for you to weigh in, and we'll talk more about just exactly how did the Biden administration weaponize the government against citizens, and what is the Trump administration trying to do to restore law and order and our constitutional rights? And you've been in the National Guard. You've been called to deal with these types of situations. What are the rules and the constitutional law that allows the president to call up the National Guard in an emergency?
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it, Dr. Vliet. There's just so much there to unpack. It's funny, the hypocrisy that's going on right now, especially with that post that you brought up by Laura Logan, and that directly has affected my life for the last 4 years, as most know who've listened to our programs. And I just want to say before I go any further that I'm not representing the Department of Defense or the military in any way. I'm just speaking my opinion and executing my First Amendment right. So as you can see within the military ranks, there is a lack to actually follow through with the president's objectives, and which is something that is no news to us. We've been trying to state this for years now, right? But it's just funny that they're so blatant with a memo just as of a month ago, right after the Secretary of Defense called it unlawful, that they say, oh, we didn't do any harm. We didn't actually fire and involuntarily separate anybody or fire anybody. They're all going to be called reaccessions instead of reinstatements, which is not true and not the full truth in this situation. So if you take this little example and then you put it, you kind of factor that across the military chain of command, and you look at this current situation that's developing in our cities, you're like, are these officers actually going to follow through with the president's orders on anything? It's highly concerning, you know? That's where we are at as a country. And I can just tell you that within the military officer ranks, just from hearsay, we're going to call this small conversations. This is nothing in front of troops or formations of troops. There's a lot of officers that are very sympathetic to the illegal invaders that are in our country. So, what percentage of officers is that in our military ranks? And I just want to say that that right there is unconstitutional. So, therefore, we have a lot of military officers that have sworn an oath to this Constitution. Well, their word means nothing because they're actually loyal to the news media's propaganda and the illegal invaders over the American people. And I have seen this play out time and time again, especially in President Trump's first administration. I saw a lot of military officers outwardly in front of, decent sized groups of troops, not formations, speak very badly of President Trump and make fun of him. So I've seen several examples over time. I watched one commanding officer outright call him a liar in the in the main Army National Guard's Joint Operations Center. So that's a pretty good example. So it's highly concerning, but for me personally, Dr. Vliet, it's awesome that we're in this moment where everything's being exposed. The hypocrisy of the chain of command is right out there for everybody to see. Such an awesome journalist, reporter, somebody I respect so much, Laura Logan, actually exposing my situation. That's totally awesome. I can't believe the moment we are in some ways. And so anyway, I'm living proof. I responded to that post. I put my general officer memorandum of reprimand out there for Laura Logan to see that I was involuntarily separated with the actual firing document as well. So everybody can see that the National Guard Bureau is actually in the middle of a direct lie. And, they're usurping the Secretary of Defense and the President's, executive order to actually fix us. So, in a
Major
lot of
Gary, one
ways,
question,
yes.
sorry to interrupt you, but one question. Why do you have any thoughts? And this isn't a personal opinion that I'm asking for, not any statement representing the DOD. Do you have any thoughts as to why the National Guard specifically seems more obstinate about following the president's order to reinstate discharged service members discharged wrongfully? Because it seems that some of the other branches are, granted, it's taking time, but they are moving to be in compliance with the executive order and the SecDef's order.
No, I actually have some really good assessment of that. The National Guard as a whole are generally older and more experienced people in life. Okay, so we're an older group over the active component. Okay, so factor that in. Okay, now National Guard Bureau itself is filled with totally incompetent people. Slothy, lethargic, in comparison to what I would say, like the Pentagon, okay, where you actually do have some people that are stellar performers and stuff like that. That's not what National Guard Bureau is. It's filled with a lot of incompetence, okay? That's personal opinion, all right? Now, I want you to factor this in, Dr. Vliet. This is massive, okay? And we could see this through our vax damage or our vaccine injury program, okay? So the National Guard is actually guilty of injecting the mRNA shots in a lot of states' citizens, okay? So they're very complicit in all this stuff, all right? The active component didn't actually set up vaccination stations in the different states. It was the National Guard, especially in blue states, that had massive vaccination clinics, not only for us members, but for this general population of civilians, did they vaccinate? I know we had a big one here in Maine, and then through our injury program, Dr. Vliet, like for example, the state of Illinois came up a couple times. People had actually made it through where service members injected them. So the National Guard is.
I did not realize that.
So they're
Um, and,
deeply.
and actually the National Guard were the ones that were sent into New Orleans during Katrina and were actually charged with illegally disarming, unconstitutionally disarming citizens.
Yes.
So I did not remember that the National Guard had been deployed as vaccination agents.
State, yeah. So, most of the time they were stationary, armories that the civilian population would bring themselves in and come out. However, there was a lot of fairgrounds where the National Guard had set up, where the civilian population would come in on their own and get themselves vaccinated. There was some what they would call task force or strike teams, mobile teams of small air guard, army guard that would deploy to a smaller rural locations during this whole vaccination wave. So that's why it was so incredibly important, Dr. Lee, what the Truth for Health Foundation did early on, getting the word out, taking care of the service members, because if we didn't push to the rescission in early 2023, Dr. Vliet, the National
Yes.
Guard would have been out there with martial law
Forcefully
vaccination.
vaccinating everyone.
Yes. So, I mean, we do hardly think of these things, and this is kind of. I wasn't anticipating this coming up, but this is where it was going if we didn't do all that early work, okay? But it did exist in the blue states to some degree, but because of the rescission, it was ended. So the National Guard Bureau is deeply involved and guilty in this stuff. And now that it's been deemed unlawful, this presents a lot of problems with them. Now, also on the National Guard
Why
side,
would they be compounding their unlawful actions by sabotaging the executive order of their commander in chief and the secretary of defense?
I feel like they're too far in that they have to continue to lie. You know, they used a lie to cover the lie, and they've got so many lies now that they're really in a bad spot. And they don't live in reality. So
In other
when I
words,
say,
dig the hole deeper and hope you don't get buried.
well, I know it's I know it. I can't make sense of it either, right? But when I said incompetence, I should probably have explained that a little bit. I know a lot of civilians look at the military as being like, you know, we're so upstanding and we hold to a higher ethic, principles, values, and all these things. But I think it's been thoroughly exposed that that's not true in general across, like, not all officers are the same. Some actually mean their oaths, right? And a lot don't. A lot of them are just paycheck collectors. They're over certified and they just get the certification, but they can't actually perform. Well, the National Guard Bureau is filled with a lot of paycheck collectors and people that are certified, right? But they can't actually perform. So those people were all elevated during the last 4 years with this mandate, like we have. And then all the good critical, we tend to call us critical thinkers, or people that can think outside the box, creative problem solving. Well, most of us were pushed out because, so it's because the people that I was explaining that ended up staying and being elevated, they don't live in reality. They live in their little bubble of National Guard world or NGB world or their local command world. They pretend not to see stuff around them, right? We have been, and actually, it's probably something very negative the military has done as a whole is trained officer leaders, officers not to see the local effects upon them. We only look outward to the international threats, which that's totally crazy. That's how DEI has snuck in and done so much damage into the military and hurt the actual morale of the military, because you can't hold all these principles, time-honored traditions and principles the military claims to have. At the same time, you're promoting lesbians up the rank, right? Just because they are that, not because they are good or excel at any of these things, right? And I mentioned this example because the Secretary of Defense has mentioned it in the past, and it is a massive thing. There's a lot of lesbian officers that have made their way up in the ranks, and well, guess what their number one concern is? It's their lifestyle, not necessarily the military's institutions, priorities, time-honored traditions of
And
being
not
lawyers
necessarily
and killers.
military readiness and
Right. It works
fitness
all against it.
for
Yeah.
their primary mission.
So how is that going to affect, let's say, a deployment to LA as President Trump's reclaims, federalizes the National Guard, and you have an officer like that in charge of troops that are going to do this mission to support ICE officers, protect ICE officers and federal property? How is that officer going to perform? Or that leader, you know what I'm saying? This is all
Right.
these questionable loyalties now that have exploded inside the military in the last 10 years. So you know you're going to end up with Venmans, like Venmans that are going to sit there and take notes and try to find every illegal thing that was done wrong to go after the upper leaders above them. You know, they call themselves whistleblowers, but really it's like malicious compliance. They're going to maliciously comply, but at the same time, they're looking to undermine all the time. And that's what the National Guard Bureau is doing in that post. But so it calls into question all these other military operations that are going to probably become increasing with these proposed riots across the United States cities. I mean, Doc Vliet, in 2020, we were given a brief by the JAG officers stating that you could no longer say anything about MAGA, President Trump, because he was in his campaign season, which makes sense. Okay, so you'd had to take all your Trump stuff out of your office or whatever, MAGA stuff, patriotic stuff. Okay, I can see that. And but at the same time, you could outwardly support BLM, Antifa, and some of these other groups, which we know as being actual, extremists, right? That are counter to American culture and the American Constitution. In fact, they're outright Marxist communists. But you could have that displayed all over your office. That was an actual JAG officer brief that came down the chain of command. Now, I think you know in my situation, they actually came after me as an extremist because I restated my oath. And they called that interfering in an election when I said against enemies, foreign and domestic. I did say in domestic, emphasize the domestic piece. For some reason, that was seen as an extremist ideology 4 years ago. Okay, so this is how, so you have these people that have this viewpoint inside key leadership roles inside the military. And so it's concerning with everything that's about to transpire in this nation.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And the thing that I don't think a lot of people realize, and we'll come back to some of the lawful authority for mobilizing the National Guard in just a moment, but I don't think that most people realize that the Biden administration targeted American citizens, calling them domestic violent extremist for several characteristics. And the key things that you and others have talked about that were used against you, against people like me and many others, opposition to government overreach. In other words, just expressing our opinions as free citizens that we think the government is overreaching in its intrusion into our lives and invasion of constitutional principles. Belief in theories about global elites trying to develop a new world order. Well, that's been discussed since Woodrow Wilson was president and proposed as an agenda that they've been working on. That's nothing, that's no conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact that that's been in play for 100 years. And yet, we would all be labeled as potential domestic extremists if we reiterated those points. If we expressed concerns over the unlawful vaccine mandates, it is unlawful to require an experimental medical product or device or vaccine, particularly with children. And whenever we talked about medical tyranny, denying hospital patients their rights or unequal treatment of vaccinated versus unvaccinated Americans, we were all labeled domestic terrorists. And what Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has uncovered or declassified since President Trump took office is the secret Safe Skies program, the secret list of Americans, citizens like us, patriots like us, put on a watch list for additional security screening at airports. And she was herself targeted and put on that list because she spoke out and criticized actions of the Biden administration. So I think it's very alarming that the Biden administration was targeting American citizens as domestic extremists and opening our border to legitimate extremist terrorist people who were paid to come here and destabilize our country. People, there now have been disclosures of documents that confirm that the Biden administration met with the government officials in Venezuela and was paying to release people from their prisons and be brought to the US in secret flights in the dark of the night that were coming into Tucson Airport, just a few miles from my home base. So we were being invaded deliberately, knowingly, using taxpayer dollars for 4 years under the Biden administration. And they keep saying 12 million illegal aliens. It's far higher than that because that doesn't even count the gotaways. We're closer to 20 million illegal aliens deliberately brought into this country and supported with taxpayer dollars for benefits that our veterans and our citizens don't get under the Biden administration. And then they have the audacity and the criminality, in my opinion, to target American citizens for exercising our free speech rights. It's just absolutely horrific. And That's why we dodged a major bullet when President Trump was elected. He literally dodged a bullet, and our country has dodged a nuclear bomb of destruction by not having Kamala Harris as our president.
Yeah, one other point, Dr. Lee, I want to make really quick, getting back to the Laura Logan post, because it fits with what you just said. So the National Guard Bureau can operate in non-reality, in its total incompetence, right? It totally followed what the Biden administration was saying here, that anybody that believes, like, for example, the shot was dangerous, or the origin of COVID, like I did, question the origin and the actual response side of things, because it broke, policies, regulations, OSHA regulations, and then eventually informed consent laws, and then religious freedom laws, right? So if you
Well, and I
question that,
definitely was in that category.
right.
I started leading press conferences to stop the shot in August 2021.
So within the military, Doc Fleet, people like me, that's why originally the investigation was opened as a domestic extremist, right? It was all related to COVID, my thoughts on COVID, right? But they called me an extremist for having those thoughts, right? So now the National Guard Bureau can operate in its full incompetence, right? And say, well, no. We got rid of this guy because he was either political or he was an extremist, right? When the center of the focal point of the whole thing was COVID, okay, or the COVID shot. So there is a hundreds and thousands of people like me, because when they came after me, I was the senior guy in the main Army Guard. They opened several other investigations on people they called extremists for the same type of thoughts, right? So that's how they got labeled. So that's how they can earnestly say we're not violating the president's executive order, when in fact they are. The actual fruit documents, which are the GOMAR, the reprimand documents that say lists for insubordination to the unlawful order of the COVID shot. And then a lot of them, they were able to force resign. They pushed them right to the point of resignation because they saw somebody, for example, like me, get punished so heavily with negative counsels and then reprimands and then security clearance and then fired. They're like, oh, hell no, I'm not going through what that guy went through. So then they got him to resign. And they're saying, oh, these people all resigned, voluntarily resigned. So this is this malicious compliance that National Guard Bureau and the active duty components are doing it as well. So this is what Trump has to work with at this moment. He really needs people he can trust. So I just want to fully explain that, so there's a full understanding going on. And this is what our, not just the military, but the government agencies are filled with, is
No,
malicious
absolutely.
compliance.
No question. And are we seeing it all through the federal agencies? Fortunately, DOGE and the cuts that have just been passed by the House to continue permanently are eliminating the positions and the funding, taxpayer funding for some of these people and positions that are undermining our country. One of the things I want to be sure and get to before we conclude the show today is I'd like to have you, as a National Guardsman who had a 25-year career in the National Guard, I'd like for you to talk about the authority to federalize the National Guard and deploy U.S. forces on U.S. soil. What is the constitutional basis for that? Because you've been called up in other riots. And we know, for example, and I want you to go through those authorities. But we know, for example, that President Eisenhower called up the National Guard to help enforce desegregation when Governor Wallace refused to allow Black students into formerly white schools. And we know that during Katrina, that the National Guard was called up to assist with disaster and all of that. Now, during Katrina, they did some unlawful things, but be that as it may, there was authority to do that. So talk to us about the constitutional authority for mobilizing, and if the governor refuses, what is the constitutional basis for the president of the United States to federalize the National Guard?
Yeah, excellent questions. Okay, so let me just speak on how it's worked previously. So the National Guard is handed down. They're kind of like rented out from the federal side to the states. Okay, and so they're given over to the governors for operational control. All right, which is a very interesting, relationship. Okay, so usually you have federal and state get along, so you don't run into this a lot. That's why we're in this weird territory, okay? Now, when I've done responses, because I was in a hazmat response unit that would help out in other states' situations or incidents, right? Well, there was local emergency management agreements done across states. We call the EMAC. And we would be sent, so as a hazmat response unit, I'd be sent to help out, say, the governor of, the neighboring state. He would do a request, it would go up and down over to our governor, and our governor would release us to do that. So traditionally, there was no need for the federal agencies or federal response to get involved, because you have the states that are working together to take care of incidents, issues, or events such as hurricanes and stuff like that. So you can also picture like an engineer unit from National Guard being requested and it going over. And traditionally, like FEMA, all FEMA mostly does is helps identify specific requests from a state or an affected area, and they help facilitate putting out a call for help for specialized units, equipment, or capabilities, really, is what it comes down to. So, and those are usually done state to state, and governors do that, okay? Just like what could have happened here in this situation is, it probably wouldn't need it in the California, because they have, I think they have 50,000 in their National Guard, so they're huge. So anyway, what I just said there is, essentially, California had enough National Guard to support local authorities to take care of this situation, but they did it for some reason. Okay, so you have a governor in a state that's allowing this event, this riot to happen, shutting down key interstates, key roads, key avenues, burning, destroying, looting, all these other issues, which the National Guard, under governor authority, can totally be used to augment local authorities, police, fire, and others, okay? And that would have been the proper way to do it. Okay, that's not what's going on there, right? We have a governor that's actually aiding and abetting in this destruction of this big city in his state by not releasing resources, which he has an abundance of them. Okay, now if he didn't, let's say he didn't for a second, if he didn't have enough National Guard to help support, he could just simply request it across state lines. And usually the states, usually I say, are in good enough relations, and they have these agreements already in place that let's say Arizona would send troops over to help out California and put that, help augment the police until they got back on their feet to take care of the situation.
Which is what the smaller states often do. They will share resources. California, as you pointed out, doesn't normally have that problem. But here, actually, if you look at what happened in Los Angeles, Governor Newsom refused to call up the National Guard to help quell the violence, the burning, the looting, the assault on law enforcement. I mean, these are criminal actions. And he refused to defend his city and call up the National Guard. Mayor Bass, the chief of police for LAPD, has released documents showing that Mayor Bass gave a stand down order to the LAPD. I mean, this is just unconscionable that two elected officials are actually interfering and countermanding law enforcement protection of their citizens. And I still don't think that because the media, the mainstream legacy lying media, controlled by the radical left, are distorting the picture so much. I don't think the public, still to this day, across the board, realizes that there was a stand down order to the police from the mayor and a refusal to mobilize the National Guard by the governor of their, who are supposed to protect the citizens.
Yeah, so very good. So here's the other side of it. Okay, now that we know that was excellent input into this story that's playing out, probably will play out across several of our cities now. So now that we actually have a rebellion going on and the governor's not doing his duty, so then President Trump's approach is this. He's legally grounded in the Insurrection Act and has the federal authority to repel invasions or quell rebellion. Okay.
Okay, I want you to read your the description of the Insurrection Act for our listeners who may not have read it recently.
Yeah, so
You have 10 U.S. Code 252-253, the Insurrection Act.
exactly. So it's asserting that California authorities have become unable, fail, or refuse to protect federal rights and laws, justifying unilateral federal action. Therefore, the president can federalize the California National Guard. Okay, so who pays the National Guard? Where does the National Guard money come from? It's all federal money anyway. The states have nothing to do with paying National Guard members. I want to make this very clear, too, because it's a very important point. We are technically paid by federal monies, not state monies. So Governor Newsom does not pay the California National Guard. It is federal. Okay, so they're the
So it's
higher,
taxpayer money.
yes, so the higher authority anyway in the National Guard is obviously the commander in chief. He rents out the National Guard for operational control to the governors. That's one way of thinking it. He actually delegates it down. Okay. That's a way of thinking of it, which means that we're not really a true militia as we were claimed to have our roots back from the, 200 plus years ago of the founding. Okay. So I just want to make
Right.
that kind of clear too, that.
Well, I think that's an important point. And I want to read for our listeners the gist of the Insurrection Act, because most people aren't checking that regularly and don't remember what it says. The 10 U.S. Code 252 and 253, called the Insurrection Act, say very clearly in federal law, the Insurrection Act gives the president unilateral authority, unilateral, to deploy federal troops or federalize the National Guard when, in section 252, number one, state authorities request assistance against insurrection, or section 253, the president. And again, unilateral authority, the president determines unlawful obstructions or rebellion, make it impractical to enforce federal law. Well, I don't think there was any question in Los Angeles. There was unlawful obstruction by the mayor and governor on enforcing federal law. They were deliberately interfering with ICE agents doing their job to enforce federal immigration law. They were failing to protect federal property from destruction, firebombing, Molotov cocktails, and everything else. And they were allowing the funding of weapons, pallets of cinder block, pallets of brick, and other weapons to be deployed in their city and placed where the Insurrection Act agents could access them. So they were actually aiding and abetting the criminal insurrectionist seeking to destroy federal property and people. I don't think there's any question but what the president had the authority to do exactly what he did. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just yesterday has stayed that radical rogue judge's order to return control of the National Guard to the governor. So that order has been stayed by the appeals court night at the Ninth Circuit. It's truly staggering. So I just think, in addition, that the president has lawfully mobilized 500 Marines in response to the violence. Now, what the pro to the illegal aliens and radical Marxists paid to cause an insurrection, what I don't think they realize is that Marines are not the same as the National Guard. Marines are trained for combat, and Marines have a singular focus on their objective. They're not just security guards or police officers, and they don't come with rubber bullets. I think these criminal insurrectionists are likely to run into a very different ball game if they start taking on the US Marines that have been deployed.
The President Trump just has to be mindful of the Posse Comitatus Act.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
If you get into this situation, this is where the chain of command needs to be well versed, and they need to be double checked on. But we've had to go here, unfortunately. And the other thing is, this starts looking like martial law, which is what the Posse Comitatus tries to work towards preventing, right? However, as we can see, we have leaders that allowed this and probably aided in many ways for this to happen. So there really was no other way to do this other than the president to get involved and to this governor's state. This governor couldn't handle it. Looks like he's probably part of
Well,
it.
not couldn't handle it, willfully
Well,
choosing
yes.
not to handle it. That's different.
No, good clarification.
This is not incompetence. This is willful allowing destruction of law and order in his city, jeopardizing innocent civilians and federal, state, and private property. I have no tolerance for people who are willfully violating the law and failing to defend the rights and safety of American citizens. And I think if we are seeing in spades that the radical leftists represented by the Democrat Party in this country are totally defending illegal aliens, violent criminals, violent extremists, and those willing to take life and destroy property for their radical aims of destabilizing and overtaking this country. That's the bottom line, in my opinion. And this was some of the same people involved in the riots at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago in 1968, Van Jones and Bill Ayers, and some of the same radical Weather Underground from 1968, and those who were involved in the Capitol bombing and killing Capitol Police at that time are now still, maybe they have a suit and short hair instead of the long hair of the 1960s, but they are in suits, in power, and lots of money, defending, supporting, and paying for what they're doing to destroy this country. The same agenda of construction is being played out today that played out in 1968.
I agree. And the only way to end it is accountability of some type holding these people responsible.
Accountability and using the Constitution and the laws that exist, the Insurrection Act. and federalization of the National Guard as appropriate, warranted by the circumstances created by the radicals. And I'm very concerned that there is a that we see evidence on social media of bigger plans over the this weekend and the next weeks ahead. So I think it's very wise that our new administration has made it very clear that they will not back down. They will enforce the law and the U.S. Constitution. And that is what we stand for. Any closing points you'd like to make?
Yeah, to add just one other key piece is that we've seen the advertisements and the ads in certain places, even in one of the local classifieds here in Maine. They were advertising for paid rioters or paid protesters, but we know they're paid rioters. So this isn't organic. This is created by some entity out there is wanting to create chaos in this country at this moment in time.
Well, that's exactly right. They are, you know, I think we can be accurate in saying they are paid anarchists, because the goal is chaos, destruction, and destabilization towards a Marxist, communist, totalitarian overthrow of our constitutional republic. To me, that's what we need to keep focusing on and remind the American people. These are not innocent, organic, paid protesters. These are violent extremists and anarchists seeking destruction of our way of life and our constitutional rights. And that is the mission of Truth for Health Foundation, to defend our constitutional rights secured by law as divinely inspired by our founders to protect all of our freedoms, which are God-given, not granted by the government. The right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to own property and the fruits of our labor, those are natural rights given to us by God. And we need to support our new administration returning to the rule of law, the constitutional republic, and one nation under God, with liberty and justice for everyone on equal basis, not a two-tiered system of justice, and not weaponizing our taxpayer-funded government against we the people. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org, where we have many resources on all topics: health, freedom, political, faith, economic, environment. We are your platform for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Dr. Vliet with the Whistleblower Report and Major Mike Gary. We'll be back again with another report shortly. Have a great week. Speak boldly. Speak the truth. Stand strong. Put on the armor of God and defend life and freedom.